Last summer, as the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico was finally brought under control, our movie critic Bob Mondello did a comparison for us on Hollywood disaster movies and how they differ from real-world disasters. Well, in the last few weeks, as tragic events have played out in Japan, Bob realized he had left something out of that story, the menace that can't be seen.
Of course, Hollywood's gotten good at conjuring up visual catastrophes. Filmmakers no longer have to guess about what one looks like. Used to be, when an earthquake or tsunami struck, the chances that a camera crew would be on hand and pointed in the right direction were minuscule. Today, amateur videographers whip out cell phone cameras almost before they realize they should be running for cover. So when Clint Eastwood wanted to create a tsunami for the opening of his film Hereafter, he was able to make it verifiably, intensely, realistic. But what about that post-tsunami threat in Japan? Nuclear radiation. Hollywood has spent more than a half century trying to figure out how to put that on screen. A nuclear blast, it can show. Shows all the time, in fact. But radiation is invisible. Tricky for a medium known as motion pictures. Not impossible, mind you. Steven Spielberg famously made Jaws suspenseful, largely by keeping his shark out of sight. He knew that what you couldn't see would scare you silly. So for much of the film, all he showed of his great white was a fin. The problem with nuclear radiation is there's no fin. Invisible means invisible, so filmmakers have had to look for ways to physicalize the idea of contamination. Were scientists saying radiation could cause mutations in the 1950s? Cue Godzilla. Also ants the size of buildings, humanoids with superpowers. But that was transparently silly. At once an obvious exaggeration and not nearly as scary as the real thing. So Hollywood needed other strategies. Here's one it came up with. A Geiger counter. A Geiger counter can at least make radiation sound alarming, and in a pinch, a director can extend alarming with an actual alarm. Or two.
Ted, stabilize the reactor.
Right.
Or six, as the movie China Syndrome did.
Radiation containment.
Must be that safety valve just opened after the trip.
Somebody turn off the damned alarm.
Jack, we still have high radiation on level 8.
Perfectly normal.
None of this, let's note, is terribly cinematic. During that racket, the folks on screen are stuck in a control room, looking urgently at dials and gauges. A few years later, to be both more visual and more visceral, the movie Silkwood would show audiences the effects of radiation. Burned skin, nausea, hair loss, not to mention the brutal effort to cleanse a plutonium plant worker after she'd been exposed.
Oh, God! No!
But this approach risks turning radiation exposure into disease of the weak material. So directors came up with horror flicks with irradiated zombies, more serious pictures with gray landscapes that look not at all like the lush greenery that's now around Chernobyl. Cautionary? Sure. But as news reports on Japan's crippled reactors remind us, not quite real. For real, nobody's ever gotten it righter than director Stanley Kramer did way back in 1959. He was adapting Neville Shute's novel On the Beach, about a clutch of survivors in Australia about a year after World War III. Nuclear blasts and radiation had wiped out all animal life in the Northern Hemisphere, but Kramer didn't show any carnage. He just had submarine commander Gregory Peck let us know that wind currents were now wafting south.
When we put our nose up north of Iwo Jima, the air was filled with radioactive dust. So, we ducked. Later on, took a look at Manila through the periscope. Still too hot to surface, so we came on down the coast of Australia and ended up here. Wasn't much of any place else to go.
The film never tried to show us what was doing all this. Not with charts or maps or Geiger counters. It didn't show bodies or burns. The characters we met were pictures of health. They weren't being affected yet. They just knew they would be. And soon. And horribly. So one by one, these last survivors took their own lives. On screen, in the end, radiation just wasn't. and neither were we. I'm Bob Mondello.